Welcome again to 99hobbies.com. This is the second part of my conversation with Mark Franco about his homebrew 1296 megahertz EME station. Now, today you showed some pictures of how you can take this antenna and make it so that neighbors only see pine trees and so forth.
Yeah, well, the antenna is painted green, and and it's rather small. I mean, it's a 10-foot dish, so it's not a really big structure. It's very light and can be moved around the yard. And so I keep it in a place that where nobody can see it. In fact, moon bounce is done one or two days a month.
Oh.
So there's no point in having a structure visible for 28 days. So I put it on the side, and nobody can see it. Also, it's protected from the wind. So there are several advantages of doing that. My dish is very light, so I can move it. Also, I have some obstructions. And if I want to communicate with a station in Australia or Japan, I got the house in blocking the view to the west. So I actually moved the dish further away from the house, mm-hmm. so I can see the moon better. Otherwise, if I cannot see the moon, I cannot work the moon.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. So the fact that I can move the dish not only is good for to keep neighbors happy, but also I have the alternative of moving the dish for special contacts with parts of the world that are really far away.
So what do you have, wheels on it?
Yeah, casters.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's nice. And is it a concrete platform in the background,
a helipad
or something?
No, there's a very small concrete block, but and very small.
When you say very small?
About 10 by 10 by 10. Only for the caster.
10
inches.
Feet, 10 inches?
No, inches.
Wow.
Only for the caster.
Okay.
So it won't sink.
Uh-huh.
That's all.
Oh, all right.
And also, that helps me to put the dish in that position and have the azimuth calibration mm-hmm. done already. I don't have to recalibrate the azimuth.
Oh, I
see. So that helps.
That's good.
Yeah, my beam width is about 5-6 degrees. So yeah. You want to be within 1 or 2 degrees of your calibration.
So when you talk about a 5-degree beam width, let's say that you're holding your arm at arm's length, and how many fingers, say, would you put together?
About 2 fingers.
2 fingers.
Yeah,
wide.
Yeah, it's pretty narrow. Yeah,
that's a circular kind of a pattern that we're looking at, like a 2-inch.
Yeah,
circle at arm's
then
length
the
something.
Signal degrades, but it that doesn't mean it's going to disappear. If it's a strong station, you can still hear him.
Okay,
but it's going to be weaker.
Okay,
so with a 10-foot dish, you want everything to be the best possible. So you don't want to be off the moon,
right?
You
otherwise,
don't want to lose all your effort in putting together a station just to be off the moon and not being able to communicate. So,
if you do that, you'll be in a different program called SETI, where you're sending signals to
yes.
where the moon wasn't.
That's true.
Now, you also talked about...
Yeah. Maybe I should say something. A SETI station, a SETI receiver, is usually they operate 1.4 gigs. We work 1.29 gigs, almost 1.3 gigs. So.
Okay.
My setup, my feed could probably be used for SETI. I mean, there's a dual purpose. You can do radio astronomy, you can do SETI, and you can do moon bounce, maybe with the same 10-foot dish and probably same equipment.
Oh, okay.
So that's a connection with the SETI league.
And the difference is that you don't necessarily have to track. Well, now, do you need to track if you're pointing at a certain place in space?
For the moon?
Well, the moon you certainly do, but for SETI, do you...
I don't really know.
Okay.
I don't think you probably, if you're looking at a particular part of the sky, you will need to track.
And what you're doing is adjusting Earth rotation.
Yeah, I'm not involved with SETI.
Uh-huh.
But if I want to track a star, or if I'm looking into a constellation and trying to receive signals, it will certainly move.
Okay.
My auto tracker tracks constellations also.
Okay.
Can do sun and moon, sun to measure sun noise, which is a way we measure the performance of the system, of course the moon, and I can also track Sagittarius and some other constellations. On 1296 it's very difficult to measure noise from, play radio astronomy, but on 432 you get a lot of noise from those sources.
Oh.
So you can use that as a reference. So you point into a constellation and you measure the noise, you know how much you should get based on the on theoretical calculations. And if you get that, your station is working fine. If you don't get it, there's something wrong.
Oh, so you can check.
Every time I operate, if it's during the day, I check sun noise. I point into the sun and I measure about 13 dB noise. But the sun noise goes up and down with the solar activity, so mm-hmm. it doesn't tell you everything. I also measure the cold sky to the ground, so I point the antenna to a place that is cold in the sky. I mean, there are no sources, no constellations, no stars, and I measure the noise, which is very low, and then I point to the Earth, something that some object that is warm, and then I measure the every warm object radiates. Electromagnetic waves. So I measure the difference between a cold point in the sky and a warm Earth. If I cannot point down, probably I point it into a tree or something like that. And then I measure just the noise I receive, like a radiometer. And I measure about 4 or 5 dB, or if it's good, I measure 6 dB of difference.
Okay.
So it's like a radio astronomy, yes. And you use that to make sure that your station is fine. So you probably haven't used it for a month, and you want to make sure everything is okay, that the squirrels didn't chew up your wires or anything. So those are the measurements, sun noise and cold sky to ground noise.
I never would have thought that pointing an antenna at a tree would be part of my calibration process, but that's...
Yeah, in fact, I get so much noise from a tree that even without leaves, I cannot operate moon bounce through a tree.
Oh.
Because not only the attenuation of the signal, but the noise.
That's amazing.
Even without leaves, I get 3 dB, about twice the power in noise, in increase.
That's from the heat.
Yes, just because of the branches, even without leaves, now in the fall or in winter. But that extra noise would probably mask most of the signals, and produce some attenuation. So, if you start talking about this, you can probably talk for hours because there's a very interesting world, a lot of possibilities, things that happen when you can get the dish and you can get some receiver sensitivity. It's not only moon bounce. There's a lot of things you can do, like radio astronomy, measuring noise, measuring constellations. And there's a lot to learn. This is a very interesting way of learning about physics, and not only electronics, antennas.
Oh, that's good to hear. I know that a lot of ham operators are also amateur astronomers.
Yes.
It'd be nice to...
So, yeah, good connection.
To two hobbies in one, you can be outside.
There's
a lot of the
EME guys that do radio astronomy as well.
I guess that's not surprising. That's great.
No, there are lots of those. Yes.
Now, before we go here, if you could, let's say that you're going to go to Home Depot, you're going to build one of these antennas. What would you have on your shopping list? You talked a little while before about the kind of stuff you want to get, and I'm wearing the orange apron here, and you say, "Okay, Dave, I want to buy some stuff."
Well, the Home Depot. You can buy copper tubing for plumbing and fittings. Mm-hmm. That will help you to if you have to join two tubes. Usually they are not telescope. They not join perfectly. So sometimes you need fittings to join tubes. A copper is an excellent antenna element because it's very conductive. Unfortunately, it's heavy. So for Yagis, probably can be a problem. I usually use copper tubing not for antennas, but to make filters and that kind of thing.
Oh.
End caps are very good because an end cap, when you solder an end cap against a flat copper plate, that resonates at microwave frequencies.
Okay.
So you can build filters. But most of the stuff I use to make the tripods to support the antennas are... just the regular steel pipes that are used for water supplies.
Oh.
And I cut and arc weld them, or I just use fittings to join them. In fact, my 10 gigahertz portable station, I use a tripod that is pretty heavy duty, and it's all made with 45 degree angle fittings and 1.5 inch pipes.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, and I used these double joints.
So it's nothing magic.
No, double joints, actually, if you tie them up and you put a screw so they don't become loose, they're very good to rotate an antenna.
Oh.
So it's just two, it's a, how can I explain it? It's and something that you use to join two pipes. But it's not just a regular tube. It rotates. So it's double joints. They sometimes they call them. Depends who talks. But those are good to rotate antennas by hand.
The Armstrong rotator, as they call it.
Yeah. Yes, but it's very simple.
And I have to say that Mark is using his hands as he describes these, and you're not going to get that on the radio here. But,
no.
you talked about a web page people could go to.
There are many web pages, yes. Most of the EME operators have web pages.
Okay.
There's a web page that has a collection. It's been around for years, and it's nighthawk.com.
That's N-I-T-E, right?
Yeah, nighthawk.com/RASMIT.
Okay, and we'll put that in the show notes so people can click on it.
Yeah, that one is good. And okay. It's being maintained by Ryan. He lives in California. Mm-hmm. He's not an EME person, but he's a radio astronomer.
Oh.
Maybe he was involved in the past with EME. And okay. He has a fantastic collection of radio astronomy, moon bounds, also the 432 and up moon bounds newsletter is
okay.
available free. In that website is every month there's an issue with the latest news on moon bounds from 432 megahertz and up, and it's free to download and from that website.
Oh, that's a good one. So the website nighthawk.com that you just mentioned, besides having pictures and so forth, what could somebody find if they went to that site?
Well, you can find radio astronomy information, resources, software. Also pictures, as you said. You have the EME and the moon bounds pictures of all different kinds of antennas and links to other web pages. So that's kind of a starting point if you want to.
So it's
to
a good resource for this kind of thing.
Yeah, a good resource to okay. start. From there, you can have lots of links. Also, the 432 and up EME newsletter that is free to download and is done every month based on the activity of that happens on 432 and all up to the microwave bands.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, it's free. You don't even have to subscribe. You can download the full color PDF file every month from the website. And finally, there's a lot of information on computers and DSP and moon bounds. Because of the extremely weak signals that mm-hmm. sometimes come back from the moon, there's been a lot of work lately on digital signal processing, and particularly done with regular computers using the sound card as the data acquisition device.
Oh, okay.
So that, not only for Windows, but also for Linux. There's a lot of software that is mostly free and mostly not only free, but open source. So if you have interest in computers or digital signal processing, probably moon bounce is one way to do a lot of experiments, because you really need to enhance the weak signal and pull it out of the noise. So there's a lot of work and a lot of interesting and very smart people working on that topic. So there's stuff for everyone, for computer people, for antenna persons, for plain RF guys. The moon bounce probably puts all that together.
Well, it's certainly something that I probably would not have tried to do myself after talking to you today, Mark. I may just give it a try, and I think that's something not only I could do, but really anybody who's listening today could do it too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for being here. I know you're busy, and I saw people swamping you after your talk today. It was very popular. It's the first time I saw a standing ovation at AtlantaCon or anything like this. Mark Franco, Into UO, thanks again so much, and 73.
Thank you, 73.
This is 99hobbies.com.